Welcome to this week's edition of the Wallingford and District Talking newspaper, bringing you news mainly from the Wallingford Herald. The readers this week are Jane and Jill. I'm your producer, Keith, and the copier and distributor is Pete.
Hello, I'm Jane. On the front page this week, the headline, Bridge Jumping Warning. Children taking massive gamble in the Thames as temperatures rise again. A mayor has issued an urgent warning against jumping from a bridge into the River Thames as temperatures rise again. Wallingford Mayor Nigel Hughes said children are taking a massive gamble after reports of a group jumping from Wallingford Bridge. Police were called into action over the incident amid warnings along the river to stay safe during the hot weather. Temperatures will once again climb above 30 degrees in Wallingford this week, according to the Met Office. And later this month, on the 17th of July, Wallingford School will break up for the summer. Councillor Hughes pointed out there is debris at the bottom of the river that you can't see, and it is accompanied by a photograph of Wallingford Bridge.
Hello, this is Jill. Underrated village has quintessential charm. Dorchester has been named among England's most underrated spots by travel site Love Exploring, it said. England is filled with pretty towns and villages, each with its own unique charm. And while it's easy to be drawn to the more well-known destinations, this often means overlooking hidden gems. To help you discover these lesser-known treasures, we've selected and ranked what, in our opinion, are the most under-the-radar delights from each of England's 39 historic counties. Dorchester-on-Thames, ranking in 22nd place, was the only spot in England to be, in Oxfordshire to be included. Love Exploring says the village exudes quintessential English charm. It adds, situated just outside Oxford, Dorchester-on-Thames exudes quintessential English charm. The 12th century abbey and its accompanying museum are the village's major attractions. There's also a biannual arts festival which happens in and around the abbey. Another major draw is the lovely surrounding countryside, which inspired J.M.W. Turner's painting Union of the Thames and Isis. Venture up Cynodon Hills, known as Whitnam Clumps, for marvellous views over the village, or take a stroll to nearby Clifton Hampden or the delightfully tranquil Hurst Water Meadows. The village's website says, "Our charming historic village sits at the confluence of the rivers Tame and Thames, just 9 miles south of Oxford." You might recognise Dorchester-on-Thames from the ITV series Midsummer Murders, as it was used as a filming location.
Seafood and steak restaurant wins award. A popular Wallingford restaurant has been awarded the TripAdvisor Traveller's Choice Prize, recognised for the outstanding experiences it gives its customers. The Shellfish Cow Restaurant and Bar in the High Street is admired for its slightly quirky decor and the British shellfish and steaks in which it specialises. The restaurant team said, "A huge thank you to every guest who has visited us, dined with us, and taken the time to leave such wonderful reviews. Your support, kind words and recommendations have made this achievement possible." This award recognises businesses that consistently deliver outstanding experiences and rank among the top 10% rated destinations on TripAdvisor's 1.8 million listings worldwide. We're incredibly proud of our hardworking team, whose passion and dedication shine through every day. Whether you're one of our loyal regulars or planning your first visit, we can't wait to welcome you and continue serving the fresh seafood and warm hospitality that earned us this recognition. Thank you for being part of our journey. And there is a photograph dated 2023 of Paul Hodder, the co-owner of the Shellfish Cow.
kid sleeps into river, a massive gamble. A mayor has issued an urgent warning against jumping from a bridge into the River Thames as temperatures rise again. Mayor Nigel Hughes said children were taking a massive gamble after reports of a group jumping from Wallingford Bridge. Police were called into action over the incident amid warnings along the river to stay safe during the hot weather. Temperatures will once again climb above 30 degrees in Wallingford this week, according to the Met Office. And later this month, on July the 17th, Wallingford School will break up for the summer. Mr. Hughes said there was debris at the bottom of the river that people cannot see. He said, "Wallingford Bridge looks like a bit of fun on a hot summer afternoon, but jumping off it is a massive gamble with your life. You have no idea what debris has drifted under the arches, how shallow the water is today, or how quickly cold water shock can paralyse even the strongest swimmer. The Thames is there to be enjoyed, but please do it safely. A single split-second decision just isn't worth the life-altering injury. Wallingford Bridge falls just outside the responsibility of the Town Council, but it has urged people to enjoy the riverside responsibly. A spokesman for Wallingford Town Council said, "We want everyone to enjoy everything Wallingford has to offer this summer, including our beautiful riverside, but no day out is worth taking unnecessary risks. Please stay safe around the water, look out for one another and make sensible choices." Thames Valley Police said that bridge jumping can fall under antisocial behaviour legislation if it causes alarm or distress, and can result in council enforcement actions or fines when bylaws are in place. A spokesman said, "There are several serious risks involved, for example, unknown water depth and submerged objects, strong currents that can quickly overwhelm even strong swimmers, risk of serious injury on entry due to height, danger to river users such as boats, paddleboarders and swimmers nearby, and cold water shock." Warnings have been issued nearly annually about bridge jumping from Wallingford or Shillingford bridges due to the dangers involved. In 2003, RAF serviceman William Lovelock died at the age of 27 when he hit his head after jumping from Shillingford Bridge. The heat wave in May saw 15 people in the UK die to water-related incidents, including Baltazar Lequet, a 14-year-old boy who died after getting in difficulty in the River Thames through Oxford.
Union flag policy gets a new update. The Union flag will continue to be flown by the County Council despite its ban on raising national flags on lampposts. Oxfordshire County Council came under scrutiny after it successfully won an injunction against members of the Raise the Colours group to stop them from flying flags on public infrastructure. It had received criticism from some, but the council argues the group has been intimidating, being confrontational and harassing towards the staff who take them down. Small amendments that are being looked at in the flag flying protocol include flying the flag at half mast when Oxford City councillors die, as well as county councillors as at present. Susanna Wintersgill, Director of Public Affairs and Policy, told a meeting that if another country was in conflict and County Hall wanted to recognise that, but it was politically sensitive, then a white flag would be flown as advised by legal services. But Conservative Councillor Thomas Ashby suggested the white flag, a symbol of surrender, should not be flown. This was backed by Cabinet Member Neil Fawcett. Throughout the whole year, though, with some exceptions, the Union flag will be flown from County Hall. People can request certain flags are flown from the New Road offices, but the Director of Law and Governance, Monitoring Officer and Chair of the Council has the discretion to authorise this.
Up to 14 fire engines called to tackle huge field fire. Smoke was sent billowing into the sky as 14 fire engines responded to a large field blaze in South Oxfordshire. Emergency services raced to Aston Tyrrell near Cholsey at around 1:30 p.m. on Monday. The large field fire was described as very bad by onlookers as a dark plume of smoke was seen filling the air. Crews worked to put out the fast-moving fire, which is estimated to have affected around 100 acres. Residents living nearby were told to keep doors and windows closed if in range of the smoke. Electricity was cut off, causing unplanned power cuts. Scottish and Southern Electricity Network said it had to isolate power due to safety concerns on its network in the area. Engineers arrived on the scene at around 5 p.m. on Monday to fix the unplanned power cut affecting 537 properties in the OX11 and OX10 areas. The company said at the time, "We have had to isolate your power due to safety concerns on our network. Where possible, we will always try to keep the power on. However, there are situations like this where we need to isolate the power to keep people safe. There is no concern for safety at your property. However, there is an isolated issue elsewhere our teams need to make safe before they can turn your power back on. The cause of the blaze was unknown at the time of going to press."
Heritage Railway trains halted due to road crash damage. Trains on a heritage railway were cancelled over the weekend after a car crash damaged a road crossing. Cholsey and Wallingford Railway, which operates on the historic Bunk Line, announced on Saturday that all outings planned for the weekend were cancelled. This was due to a road traffic collision which occurred earlier in the week and damaged some of the railway crossing infrastructure on the Wallingford bypass, according to the organisation. A spokesperson said, "At the time, we hope that this will be repaired shortly, so please check our website for other upcoming events." Cholsey and Wallingford Railway declined to comment on what happened or confirm that services were running again. The Heritage Railway is run by volunteers between Cholsey and Wallingford, hosting themed festive trains throughout the year and special services during events like Bunkfest. Dementia research hailed as promising. A Parliament event has shone a spotlight on promising progress in the fight against dementia. Organised by Henley and Tame MP Freddie Van Mierlo, together with Alzheimer's Research UK, the gathering brought together leading dementia researchers and government ministers. The event highlighted the latest breakthroughs in dementia research and explored emerging opportunities in diagnosis and treatment. Mr. Van Mierlo spoke about the advances being made. He said, "I'm proud that researchers from Oxfordshire were demonstrating the progress being made right here in our county against this terrible disease. Researchers from Oxford were able to show me their early stage research into future medicines that could revolutionise how we treat Alzheimer's. Holding Oxford's models of the proteins that cause the disease unmasked what is normally hidden from view. It was like holding a terrible foe of all of us in my hands. With dementia already impacting thousands of families across Oxfordshire and figures expected to rise nationally, Mr. Van Mierlo has backed Alzheimer's Research UK's calls to accelerate the development of new treatments. David Thomas, Head of Policy and Public Affairs at Alzheimer's Research UK, said dementia is the UK's biggest killer, but research is changing what is possible.
Lib Dem leaves, returns, offers no more detail. A Lib Dem county councillor who left his party ahead of the leadership reshuffle in May, only to rejoin in June, has refused to explain this hokey-cokey amid criticism for lack of transparency and time-wasting. When Watlington councillor Ben Higgins stood down from his cabinet role at the council and became an independent, he failed to respond to requests for comments on his departure. Now, questioned on whether he would provide clarity for the people who elected him and explain his decision, Mr. Higgins has continued to refuse to comment. He said, "It's not something I'm willing to comment publicly on at the moment, I'm afraid." He added, "The only point I've really got to make is that, during my brief period as an independent, I was still actively working for my residents. I challenge anyone to have gone to more annual parish meetings than I did over the course of May and early June, and I'm delighted to be back in the group." His return was heralded by Council Leader Tim Bearder as providing stability so that we can get on with the job. The situation was raised in full council on Tuesday, June the 30th, as it meant recently appointed scrutiny committees had to change again to ensure political balance. Green Group leader Ian Middleton said, "This is the second time in as many months that we've had to rejig the council as a result of an internal issue within the Lib Democrat group. Last time, we were unceremoniously banged back into this chamber on a change of leadership, for reasons that have not really been fully explained by the Lib Dems to date. As a result of the latest change in the leadership of the Lib Dem group, members of my group, who put a lot of effort into the new committees that we've been appointed, are now seeing all that work wasted. That's frustrating." Mr. Higgins' departure was followed by that of Nick Cotter, who became an independent after being suspended by the National Party. He has not since rejoined. There were also changes to the administration, including the replacement of the leader and transport boss. Mr. Middleton suggested that the Lib Dems rebrand due to their somewhat fluid membership to avoid any further hokey-cokey in-and-out situations.
Campaign for River Thames pollution probe. Pressure is mounting on Oxfordshire councils to open a formal investigation into river pollution along the Thames. Campaign group River Action submitted complaints to 13 Thames Valley councils alleging sewage pollution is causing a statutory nuisance under the Environmental Protection Act 1990, which places duties on councils to investigate potential statutory nuisances affecting residents' use and enjoyment of their area. In law, a nuisance is a state of affairs which is not something objectively a normal person would find it reasonable to have to put up with. River Action claims Vale of Whitehorse District Council has rejected the complaint and sees this as a refusal to investigate. But the Vale says under current legislation, district councils cannot use statutory nuisance powers to address river pollution. A spokesman for South Oxfordshire and Vale of Whitehorse District Councils said, "We understand and share the public's concern and anger about river pollution and its impact on our environment. Protecting our waterways is vital, and we fully support efforts to hold water companies and regulatory bodies accountable for maintaining high standards. Our rivers are precious, and we will continue to work with partners to advocate for stronger protections to ensure they are kept clean and safe for wildlife and future generations. However, under current legislation, district councils cannot use statutory nuisance powers to address river pollution."
Camera bites to target speeding drivers. Police are cracking down on speeding motorists by using motorcycles equipped with traffic cameras. The road safety scheme targets hard-to-reach locations around the county where traditional camera vans may not be suitable. The motorbikes will be used to enforce so-called Fatal Five offences, including speeding, drink and drug driving, not wearing a seat belt, mobile phone use, and careless or dangerous driving. The new team will use handheld laser and video speed detection technology on motorcycles, allowing officers to access areas that are difficult to reach with larger vehicles. This includes rural communities, streets near schools, and locations with limited parking or space. A flexible mobile approach is designed to provide a visible deterrent and to deliver targeted enforcement in response to community feedback, collision data, and policing priorities. It also supports the National Road Safety Strategy, launched earlier this year, which aims to reduce deaths and serious injuries on the roads. Offences will be processed using existing procedures, including the issuing of notices of intended prosecution where appropriate. And there's a photograph of some of the police with their motorbikes and obviously other people who are officials by the name tags they've got dangling down.
Put meat and dairy back on the menu. Farmers and countryside campaigners called for meat and dairy produce to return to the menu at County Hall. Oxfordshire County Council introduced a vegetarian menu at all council-catered events in 2021. Farmers, backed by Clarkson's Farm star Jeremy Clarkson, heavily criticised the meat ban, which made UK-wide headlines. Some councils, such as Conservative-led Enfield in London and Reform-led Calderdale in West Yorkshire, have reversed their own meat-free policies. The Countryside Alliance has written to Oxfordshire County Council leader Tim Bearder, urging the authority to scrap the ban and promote local farm food and freedom of choice. In a letter to Mr. Bearder, Mo Metcalf-Fisher said the blanket ban is misguided, divisive, and against the principle of individual choice. He said the policy is deeply insulting to livestock farmers in Oxfordshire and the wider UK. Mr. Metcalf-Fisher said, rather than only providing plant-based food and prohibiting meat and dairy, the council should seek to promote informed choice and source local sustainable produce. He wishes the council would do the right thing for Oxfordshire's farming community by dropping the ban. Former Top Gear host Mr. Clarkson, who has a 1,000-acre farm in Chadlington near Chipping Norton, called the move utter madness and supported farmers who protested outside the county council's offices in Oxford in 2022. Campaigners said the ban risked sidelining livestock producers at a time when councils should be supporting farmers and British food sourced locally. Opponents of the menu change argued that policies overlook issues like food waste and the role of local farming. Councillors said at the time that the motion was in an effort to tackle climate change, citing that global meat and dairy production was a significant contributor to greenhouse gas emissions and deforestation. Green Party councillor Ian Middleton, a vegan for 17 years, also put forward the motion and wanted to ensure council school meals have plant-based menus available too. The motion was officially passed in December and gained final decision in 2022 to implement the policy, but was significantly watered down after strong opposition and protests. Conservative County Councillor David Bartholomew said at the time, the motion was unacceptable and veganism should be a choice. Enfield Council in London has recently announced it is putting meat back on the menu and beefing up Enfield after a manifesto pledge to overturn the ban introduced by the previous Labour Council. Calderdale Council in Halifax also moved to scrap its meat and dairy ban and focused on local and sustainable food only. Several councils, including Suffolk and Northamptonshire, have previously backed the campaign's stance on British meat and dairy. And now the On This Day column. In 1497, Portuguese navigator Vasco da Gama set sail from Lisbon with four vessels in search of a sea route to India. Last year, Greg Wallace had been sacked as MasterChef presenter following an inquiry into his alleged misconduct by production company Banijay, BBC News reported. Birthdays: Sarah Kennedy, TV presenter, 76. Kevin Bacon, actor, 68. Pauline Quirk, actress, 67. Billy Crudup, actor, 58. Beck, pop star, 56. Robbie Keane, former footballer, 46. Sophia Bush, actress, 44. And Jaden Smith, actor, 28. And on this day in history, in 1822, Percy Bysshe Shelley, English poet, was drowned in Italy while sailing his small schooner, Ariel, to his home on the Gulf of Spezia. 1882, eccentric composer Percy Grainger was born in Melbourne. 1889, John L. Sullivan defeated Jake Kilrain in Mississippi after 75 rounds, the last bare-knuckle heavyweight title contest. 1918, national savings stamps went on sale in Britain. 1961, the first All-England women's singles final took place at Wimbledon between Christine Truman and Angela Mortimer, who won in three sets. And finally, 1965, Ronald Biggs, one of the great train robbers, scaled the wall of Wandsworth Prison with a rope ladder and escaped. He had served 15 months of his sentence. He eventually settled in Brazil. And now the On This Day column. In 1497, Portuguese navigator Vasco da Gama set sail from Lisbon with four vessels in search of a sea route to India. Last year, Greg Wallace had been sacked as MasterChef presenter following an inquiry into his alleged misconduct by production company Banijay, BBC News reported. Birthdays: Sarah Kennedy, TV presenter, 76. Kevin Bacon, actor, 68. Pauline Quirk, actress, 67. Billy Crudup, actor, 58. Beck, pop star, 56. Robbie Keane, former footballer, 46. Sophia Bush, actress, 44. And Jaden Smith, actor, 28. And on this day in history, in 1822, Percy Bysshe Shelley, English poet, was drowned in Italy while sailing his small schooner, Ariel, to his home on the Gulf of Spezia. 1882, eccentric composer Percy Grainger was born in Melbourne. 1889, John L. Sullivan defeated Jake Kilrain in Mississippi after 75 rounds, the last bare-knuckle heavyweight title contest. 1918, national savings stamps went on sale in Britain. 1961, the first All-England women's singles final took place at Wimbledon between Christine Truman and Angela Mortimer, who won in three sets. And finally, 1965, Ronald Biggs, one of the great train robbers, scaled the wall of Wandsworth Prison with a rope ladder and escaped. He had served 15 months of his sentence. He eventually settled in Brazil.
How Bobby is helping boost the police force. An AI-powered virtual assistant is helping to transform police contact with the public. The technology, named Bobby, was launched in November 2025 by Thames Valley Police and Hampshire and Isle of Wight Constabulary. Bobby is a 24/7 digital assistant that supports non-emergency public inquiries and has been described by police as a pioneering moment in policing. Mike Latanzio, Chief Digital and Information Officer for Joint Operations Unit in Thames Valley Police and Hampshire and Isle of Wight Constabulary, said, "This is a pioneering moment in policing. Bobby has allowed us to rethink how we manage non-emergency demand, offering the public more choice in how they contact and interact with us, and ensuring our officers and staff can focus on the people and situations that need them most. Bobby assists the public with non-emergency issues, handling around 200 conversations each day. About 45% of these are fully resolved without human intervention, freeing up time in the contact centre and enabling police staff to focus on emergencies and sensitive matters. Bobby operates through a secure platform, directing unresolved queries to the appropriate human-operated channels. Its efficiency is estimated to free more than 3,200 staff hours and improve the capacity to safeguard vulnerable individuals."
The Curious Facts column, entitled "Objects Now Redundant." Describing something as a bygone is a loose, evocative way of referring to an object dating from an earlier past era, having fallen out of common use and rendered obsolete by material and technological advancements. Unlike traditional antiques, which typically focus on rare craftsmanship, celebrated makers, and fine materials, bygones belong firmly to the realm of the ordinary. They are the material remnants of daily life, domestic labour, and traditional trades. Rather than luxury items, they are distinctly vernacular, crafted by local artisans using materials like iron, wood and clay to solve the practical problems of working lives. The domestic home probably holds the biggest realm of bygones. Before electricity, the simplest acts of eating, heating or cleaning required an entire arsenal of handcrafted machinery. To light the fire to cook and stay warm, bellows were used to circulate the air. For the arduous task of cleaning clothes, a mangle helped to scrub and dry the cloth. Heavy boiling vessels were tilted safely using mechanical kettle tillers, while food preparation relied on the brute force of a stone mortar and pestle. These objects may seem primitive, but they serve as a way to anchor and connect ourselves directly with the past and remind us that life wasn't always so easy. And there is a drawing of a washer, wringer and mangler all in one in black and white. From the Herald website, rare signed Agatha Christie edition sold for £10,000. A Wallingford rare book dealer has sold one of the most personal Agatha Christie editions to ever come to the market, signed by the author herself, for £10,000. The first edition of Five Little Pigs, inscribed by Christie to her husband, the archaeologist Max Mallowan, was sold by book dealer Tom W. Ayling of Howbury Park. Mrs. Christie and her husband lived in Winterbrook House in Wallingford from 1934 until the author's death in 1976, and has been celebrated as part of the town's legacy ever since. A statue of the world's best-selling crime author now stands in the Kynecroft, while a Michelin Guide recognised restaurant on St Mary's Street takes its name from the same novel, Five Little Pigs. "It's hard to imagine a book with a stronger claim to Wallingford," said Mr. Ayling. Five Little Pigs was published in 1943, while Christie and Mallowan were living at Winterbrook. She inscribed this copy to Max in the month of publication, a gift from one half of one of the great literary and intellectual marriages of the last century to the other. The copy is inscribed on the front end paper, Max from Agatha, Jan 1943, presented to the author's husband in the same year the novel was first published. It also carries a second inscription added later when the novelist gave it to Phyllis Rice, housekeeper at the couple's Devon home, Greenway, in 1969. She signed it to the housekeeper as Agatha Mallowan, the name by which she was known to her neighbours in Wallingford, and the book remained with Mrs. Rice's family by descent ever since. Agatha Christie's connections to Wallingford run deep through her work and life to this day, as Winterbrook House is widely believed to have inspired Dane Mead, fictional detective Miss Marple's home in St. Mary Mead. The novelist served for many years as president of the Synodon Players, the town's amateur dramatic society, which is still based at the Corn Exchange, and she is now buried nearby at St. Mary's Church in Cholsey. Mr. Ayling added, "Christie material with this kind of association rarely surfaces. Copies inscribed to Max are of the greatest rarity."
And now we have the Herald website. Update on Raise the Colours man on trial for child porn. The trial for Raise the Colours, Oxfordshire leader Ben Cullen, started on Thursday, July the 2nd. Cullen was due to appear before a jury at Reading Crown Court on July the 1st, having been charged with three counts of making indecent child images. The 45-year-old, who led the Oxfordshire wing of the hard right-back movement, was accused of making 22 indecent Category A photographs, including one moving image, in Wallingford on March 25, 2021. He is also accused of making indecent pseudo-photographs, namely 36 Category B images of children at the same place and on the same date, as well as making 20 Category C images of children. Cullen, who lives in Wallingford, was spotted in Reading Crown Court on Wednesday, July the 1st, ahead of the trial, but this will now start on Thursday. The jury has been sworn in. Raise the Colours Oxfordshire has been putting up flags across the county, from Wallingford to Wantage and from Oxford to Whitney. Earlier this month, Oxfordshire County Council won an injunction against the group and four members, including Cullen, to stop putting up flags. Oxfordshire County Council said it brought legal action to stop people raising flags near highways, saying it involves safety risks as well as trespass and obstruction. After a short hearing at the High Court, where the group represented themselves, the group members agreed not to put up more flags, not to encourage others to do so, and not to obstruct any council worker or contractor taking them down. Burnham asked to give Region a mayor. Oxfordshire leaders have written to the man tipped to be our next Prime Minister, Andy Burnham, to give the Thames Valley its own mayor. In a joint letter addressed to Andy, Oxfordshire County Council's leader and its cabinet members for HR and reorganisation asked the former Manchester mayor for an ambitious devolution settlement after they vetoed a £97 billion region plan. It comes as an Oxford City Council report states that the County Council's action considerably reduces the likelihood of establishing a Thames Valley mayor in the near term. Proposals for a devolved Foundation Strategy Authority, FSA, which under government guidelines paves the way for a mayoralty, were thrown out by Lib Dem council leaders Oxfordshire's Tim Bearder and Windsor and Maidenhead's Simon Werner, after 18 months of negotiation involving 13 councils. The move has been criticised by the region's Labour and Conservative council leaders and the Lib Dem district council bosses in Charwell and West Oxfordshire say they are still in favour of an FSA. The devolved power would have covered Oxfordshire, Berkshire, Swindon in a move with potential to create £97 billion in gross value added, according to a government minister. Mr. Bearder explained the rejection was due to concerns about a lack of powers, funding and coherent geography needed to make a meaningful difference. The jurisdiction given to an authority of this kind includes powers over transport, infrastructure and housing coordination, as well as increased access to funding, all previously held by central government. Mr. Bearder is against the inclusion of Swindon, which is not covered by the same police force or healthcare coordination board as Oxfordshire and Berkshire. In a council meeting, he said he wants to see Buckinghamshire brought in instead. The county had pulled out of plans in February this year. In his letter to the new Makerfield MP, Mr. Bearder does not mention Bucks, but looks north, saying the area he is particularly excited for Oxfordshire to work with is the Liverpool City region.
Local events. Saturday the 11th of July, Gospel Choir Concert at 5:30 p.m. St. Mary Lemore Church, Wallingford. True Colours Shining Through is the theme of an uplifting charity gospel concert by Didcot Community Choir and Didcot Girls Chamber Choir. Proceeds to Seesaw, the charity which offers grief support to young people. Price £10, including refreshments. Saturday the 11th of July, Crow Jazz at 7:30 p.m. in Crowmarsh Village Hall. Bossa Gringo's Brazilian Rhythms, world-class musicians provide an evening of infectious rhythms, dazzling musicianship and musical sunshine. Tickets £18, book at crowjazz.co.uk. Saturday the 18th of July, a concert of Vivaldi and Bach, 7:30 p.m. at St Mary Lemore Church, Wallingford. Part of the Cholsey Festival of Music this year, the centrepiece for the concert is the fabulous Vivaldi Gloria. It is a familiar work for many in the choir, and there's a real buzz of excitement that we're tackling it. Supporting Vivaldi's Gloria will be Bach's cantata BWV 70. The conductor is Crawford Rowbotham. Tickets on the door at £10. Also Saturday the 18th of July, Cholsey Repair Cafe from 10 a.m. to 12:45 p.m. in Cholsey Pavilion. Talented fixers offer help and advice free of charge to get a variety of broken household items in working order. Excellent refreshments, details at cholseyrepaircafe.com. And finally, Saturday the 25th of July, Family Archaeology Day from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Wallingford Museum. Wallingford Museum's annual Family Archaeology Day offers the opportunity for all of the family to meet our local archaeologists, find out more about digging in Wallingford and the local area, as well as getting hands-on with archaeological processes. This is a drop-in event running from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Please note, normal admission charges do apply.
That brings us to the end of this week's edition of the Talking Newspaper. We're all off now for a walk so we can claim our health rewards from the NHS. Anyway, I'm only joking. It's too hot for walking. Until next week, from all of us, it's goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.